This episode of FilmSack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack and get your free audiobook download today.
Remember when Mick said when he was fighting, sometimes he'd fight so hard that he was thinking that he broke something?
Time to put some hustle behind this muscle. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 134, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. And boy, don't we do that today. And I use the word entertainment lightly. I'm Scott Johnson. And by the way, joining us tonight, Brian, my kid has a creepy crush on his French art teacher, Dunaway.
Yes! I must have accidentally started Rocky IV. There's Dolph Lundgren! Crap! Nope. Still watching Rocky Fire for this week's film sack. Stupid flashback. Da-da-da. Da-da-da.
Yeah.
Da-da-da. How many ways can we start playing this song, huh? How many? Let's play it with a violin now.
That's a pretty good violin, if I have to lay judgment.
That sounded like a muted trumpet to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it did kind of sound
little Henry Mancini action over there. All right. Also joining us, Randy, your opening Rocky IV montage was better than all of Rocky V, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian. Brian, I've just realized that you don't love me, Scott Johnson. Why? All you ever do is spend all your time teaching Brian Dunaway how to podcast, and I'm not going to fall for your trick of getting Brian Ibbett to dress up as drunken Santa Claus to make me happy. Drunken Brian Ibbett Santa Claus doesn't make me happy.
Oh. Angry child.
What if I go, yo, yo, yo?
Yo, yo, yo.
Actually, that did make me happy.
Go for it. Go for it. Oh, I freaking hate that song. Finally, bringing up the rear, Brian the bubble-blowing workout Ibbett.
Oh, good to be back, gentlemen. Mm. Frequently on FilmSack, we can gauge how bad a movie is by how many other movies we talk about during the show for that movie. Yeah. You know a movie is bad news when the end credits for the movie itself don't show you scenes from the film you just watched, but scenes from the earlier better movies.
Right.
Yes.
With the exception of that one last shot of the statue over there in the Philadelphia thing.
Right.
It's like, yeah, that was... You guys, Rocky Four, or sorry, I keep saying four because I want four. Five is terrible. It is the redheaded stepchild of the Rocky films. It is a piece of garbage, and we're lucky to even have an idea that there may have been something better to come after this, which was Rocky Balboa, which was much better. Mm. But, man, what a piece of flaming turd I thought this was.
Really?
Oh, my God.
I think this is what the problem was for me. it wasn't a Rocky movie, and therefore it's kind of – I think I expected it to be one thing and it ended up being something else. Mm-hmm. But once I accepted that it was something else, I was
Wait. I want to know what you thought it was going to be before – what?
I just have to amend what my partner is saying. He's saying it's not a Rocky movie, as in Rocky 2, 3, and 4. It's a throwback to the first Rocky, which is a character study, right?
Right.
I would say it is not.
And that's all Sylvester Stallone does after Rocky 4. Every movie he writes is just this character study that may or may not have some good action in it.
So you're saying this movie is good because it breaks the trope of he's the boxer, he's training for this big fight. Oh, he's gonna have some setbacks. Oh, maybe he's not gonna make it. Oh, maybe he's gonna lose. He wins. Yeah. Roll credits.
Yeah, or better yet, my favorite kind of Rocky movie, which is, oh, it looks like he's gonna win. Oh, of course he's gonna win. The good guy always wins. Oh, he didn't win. But he really won was the heart of Adrian and the hearts of millions. That's what you want this movie.
Yes. Oh. What did Fletcher think about this movie?
He explained what it is. He didn't really weigh in his opinion. But we'll let him do that anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Fletcher, explain.
Rocky V. In this last chapter of the series, a lifetime of taking shots has ended Rocky's career. And a crooked accountant has left him broke. Aww. Inspired by the memory of his trainer, however, Rocky finds glory in training and takes on an up-and-coming boxer.
His trainer, made to look like it happened, 10 years earlier, but really, Burgess Meredith was on the edge of dying. So let's go ahead and film that poor old guy. And
come on, Rocky.
Drag it out one more time, and you can see his eyes looking at cue cards, and I wanted to cry.
But you did. You, oh, wait, so you looked this up. This was Burgess Meredith new material?
Oh, yeah, he hadn't died till 96, so he's still with us, and he was brought back for this. So he was around. He was here to do things, and that's fine. And that's fine they got him, because he is the heart of the first two films. I guess you could say the third two.
The third is where he really, like, the first film is about Rocky Balboa. And then through the second and third, it shifts more and more onto Burgess Meredith's character, Mickey, right?
Let me dig through the memories, the recesses of my mind. First movie, it's to fight Apollo Creed, and he gets there but then loses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about the struggles of a person who has absolutely nothing going for him, except he might be able to fight, but probably not.
Right, okay, so and that's a great – I think Rocky One is a pretty damn good movie.
And was nominated for Academy Award.
And won a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's great. And they got to the end. And it's fine if you can't kill Action Jackson. There's another time to do that. And that's called a sequel. So Rocky II, he swoops in there. And the goal of that movie was to actually beat Apollo Creed, a.k.a. Action Jackson, a.k.a. Right, guy with one arm waving it around, a predator, right? We got to beat Carl Weathers.
So you go from a story about what it's like to almost get to the mountaintop to a story about what it means to get to the mountaintop and how that feels and what this does to you know, like the first story is about whether or not he's going to get the girl. And the second story is really about how, yeah, damn right he's going to get the girl. Of course he got the girl. He was supposed to get the girl because he, you know, he's a go-getter who makes himself into a girl-getter. I don't know what I'm saying.
Right.
A girl-getter.
But then you've got your Obi-Wan Kenobi character,
right?
Which we'll get into more of that Star Wars stuff in a minute. You guys mentioned it before the show, and I can't wait to hear some of that. But anyway, so then you get to Rocky III. Now this is where we start getting into the territory I enjoy the most, which is, all right, Mr. T up on deck, let's go. He's crazy. He's got a mohawk. He don't mind killing a dude, which he does. He takes out Carl Weathers, spoiler, takes him right out, and Rocky beats him in the end. Great. Next one, you get giant freaking Russian Dolph Lundgren with just the hugest rack of a man you've ever seen, and he's got to beat that guy. The only place you can go is robot or something.
Giant robot.
Yeah.
But get it. The third film
or
is
a
about
bear
fame.
Or an ape a or something.
Right? The third film is about fame.
Yeah.
And how it's practically impossible to be famous and successful. The fame comes with success, but once you've got it, it's really, really difficult to then continue to be successful.
Right.
Because fame is so messy, right?
Yeah.
That's what that movie's about. And so the fourth film is about the aftermath of that, right?
Right.
That even though you're famous, even though you're rich, even though you've got everything, you can still be hurt really, really bad.
Somebody out there has gunning for you, and they're bigger and better than you are.
Right. So let's combine that with the struggles between two entire nations.
Well, and it's about the Cold War, let's not forget. That's what that third or fourth one is. All right, so all that's well and dandy, and I am enjoying myself right up through four, man, and the first 5 minutes of this movie. Now, I should say, I did not see this movie. I have not seen Rocky V till this viewing, so I didn't know what I was getting into. I'd hoped, honestly, this pattern Ibbot you talked about, I really wanted that to happen again. I wanted it to be, and they kind of tried to do this. It's like, oh, we got to reset everything because he loses all his money because his accountant's an ass. So, all right, fine. Right. So you got to start over. He went from zero to that in like 5 seconds, but whatever. You just beat the world champion and now you're broke. Weird. So then there's that. But then it turns into so quickly it turns from that and that potential to then build him back up and go for the ultimate thing again to this weird after school special with his actual kid who played his son in the movie, who's now dead from that drug overdose or whatever it was, or what was the deal?
Heart attack.
Was it a heart attack?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Weird. Really? I thought there was some drug-related something.
I was looking this up. According to the news, it was a heart attack, not drugs.
Oh.
like it was initially speculated.
A natural thing.
Yeah.
All right. So Sage Stallone dying in real life. And I had forgotten the kid was even in this. And so all of that, I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be much more impactful. I'm going to really get, a more resonant piece of this story because he's actually has died. And so therefore this story is going to be like, oh, how ironic and blah. It didn't even do that for me. It just was kind of after school special. The kid's a wimp when he goes to the thing. He's too smart and all the street toughs beat him up. So finally he can beat them. In the meantime, Rocky's got a new protege and he likes him better than his son. And now his son's pissed. How do you know? Because he looks identical in every way, except he's got a hanging earring on the side of his freaking ear. And that makes him a bad boy now. And just so tropey, tripey, poopy, blah. Like, and the acting is, and when we get to clips later, atrocious. Feel free to defend any of this as we go here, but real bad. Stallone is doing a Stallone voice in this movie.
That's funny. I put that right here in my notes. Stallone is doing a Sylvester Stallone impersonation. It's like he studied the Sylvester Stallone impersonations that Rich Little and Fred Travellina and people like that did and said,
But those impersonations are based on the character, and the character is a dumb bruiser with brain damage. What did you expect?
This was a cartoon version of what he's done previously.
Okay.
And what he did since. Rocky Balboa is back to the what made that character interesting and down to earth and real. Like, that's actual acting in Rocky Balboa. Rocky V, he is phoning that stuff in. He may as well be on SNL making fun of himself.
And I'm going to come clean right now. Prior to seeing Rocky V, the only Rocky I had seen was the original.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't seen, but I've seen enough of 3 and 4 to know, okay, Mr. T, yeah, he does this. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Dolph Lundgren, sure, good enough. I do plan on seeing him at some point.
And, I recommend
it. Still want to see Rocky Balboa as well.
2, 3, and 4 are fun as hell, I think. I think they're a riot. You get your Eye of the Tiger in 3.
Sure.
I don't remember what you get in 4, but you get
But the reason I bring that up is because it's such a stark contrast going from the first Rocky to this Rocky, and I didn't know did the character suffer in one of those other movies some massive brain damage? Like, is it is really a thing that this is where the character is gone.
I thought this was new in 4 and 5, and then they just ignored it in the Rocky Balboa movie. Is that not true? I thought this was the only time it's ever been mentioned.
It's mentioned over and over throughout every film. I mean, seriously, in every film there is mention of how he can't keep doing this to himself, that he's not the man he used to be, blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah,
every
but
film.
Specifically that, like, MRI brain damage stuff. I think this
This is the film where he finally gets to that point, to the diagnosis point.
Yeah. Finally, after all this time, somebody tells him he's
You get the feeling watching this movie, if you've seen the other ones, you get the feeling that Stallone had been planning the scripts out, like he had a script treatment for 5 movies all the way along from the beginning.
Yeah,
you get that feeling. Right.
But here's the problem: he hires what's his name, Karate Kid director, to direct this one.
Yeah,
thinking, oh, he's really good at right? So he comes in and completely just fups it up. I said fup, FUP.
Good word.
It's an FUP.
Yeah, that's a good word. Is that a Utah thing?
No,
there's an apostrophe in there, and it's well placed.
I completely made it up on the fly. But anyway, they do that with this guy, thinking, I think they thought they were going to get a slightly better treatment of the material, and I just feel like it was really empty and emotionally shallow, and just none of the stuff with the sun had any resonance to it, and Adrian was terrible. It's bad, you guys. The movie is bad. We have to have a consensus that this movie.
No.
We don't have to, but
no, we don't.
I desire it. Okay, so tell me why I shouldn't hate it. Because blah.
Oh,
because it's personal.
Okay,
back me up, Brian Dunaway. There, right. This is not.
Listen,
this is not.
Listen, you two teaming up over there.
This is not the film. This is not a Rocky film with Hulk Hogan in it. This is a Rocky film where a character gets busted down to the basement of his existence and has to find his way through things that are unfamiliar to him, like the fact that he should have killed Pauly with his bare freaking hands.
Oh, but on paper, what you tell me sounds like a great film. What you're telling me is a fantastic place for 5 to go. You're not wrong. It sounds like, oh, yes, of course, this is where we would be in this stage of it. It's just that it's done like... I don't know. Anybody
so
can.
Two dimensional. Yes. I mean, basically, it's like, all right, hey, you know what? We lost all his money. We don't need even need to. Let's not even worry about covering how he lost all his money. Let's just say, your accountant lost all your money. Boom. Okay. Money's gone.
Yeah.
All right. He's got to deal with his family stuff. Okay. You
Wait,
know.
Are you saying it would have been better if they hadn't gone to the. They went to such great lengths to explain how he lost his money?
Not necessarily. It's not that so much as. But I know what Brian's saying. It's like, all right, here's your three or four plot devices that get us where we need to be. Right. It's then that you start to lose us, and those things seem stupid if you don't do it well. Because then exactly. it's just so bad.
It seems like you just don't care. Like, well, the audience isn't really going to care how he lost his money. Let's just gloss over that really quickly with a bad accountant, blah, blah, blah. Let's move on to the apartment. Yeah. Then you get the problems with the family. And why is his son mad? Because Rocky keeps kind of making these promises. And how does he eventually win his son's heart back? Well, he's out there on the corner sitting there talking to him. He makes another promise. Oh, the son's like, oh, okay. This time it works. Yep. Great. Let's go back to the house.
End scene. Now let's fight the mullet guy in the parking lot.
So what you're saying is this film has an expectations problem and doesn't even rise to the level of mediocre character study.
Yes.
I think there's really just no depth to this. I think that there's basically,
Did you hear what you said?
All right.
You're watching a Rocky movie. You're saying there's no depth.
Okay, yeah, but the only other Rocky
in other Rocky movies.
The only other Rocky movie I've seen, I think, had tremendous depth, and you can't pegged it on the head. It is a character study.
Come on.
No, one is a really, really interesting dramatic film. Two tries to do that again, and I think probably succeeds mostly. Three, it gets ridiculous. Four, it gets ridiculous, but at least those were fun and you could follow them in a popcorn kind of way. Five tries to go back to that but fails. The only one that really gets back to it is Rocky Balboa, and that is introspective and kind of heart-wrenching and interesting, and it's a great bookend to the series.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, it's really good.
There's no doubt. Like, let's put this film in its proper place. This was a film about a lot of things that belong to the late 80s and early 90s, like Don King. There's no Don King in the world anymore. There was in the late 80s and early 90s. He was a marvel. He was this thing that you had to eventually have a big film make fun of and parody. And my gosh, he's the influence of Don King on the world of sports is all over this movie. Mm-hmm. 20 years later, relevant, you know?
Sure.
Not at all. Duke's character just seems overly asinine, which is fine. I think it works on its own. Also, I just got to say, you can say what you want to about this movie, but Union Kane eyeballing Rocky, you know, like the first 30 minutes, I don't care. Dude. That made me happy.
That was a really awesomely portrayed. I agree with you.
Right.
And the guy, the Tommy Shotgun.
Tommy Gunn.
Bum stuck
right.
sticker. What's his name? Yeah, that guy.
Real boxer. Right.
He's formidable. I mean, he's interesting, you know? Like, I feel like they could have... Ibbitt said it. It's two-dimensional. It's just that he could have been much more interesting if it wasn't so, I'm totally with Rocky Balboa. I'm just a young kid coming up, and I want to learn everything he has to say. Oh, now there's money being laved around. I'm going to follow Mr. Fur Man around now.
When you first saw Tommy Gunn, did everybody have the thought, wow, they could remake this movie with one of the Hemsworths?
Oh yeah, he looked a little
beefy Hemsworth. Yeah. Tell me anything else about the character of Tommy Gunn besides he's easily swayed by money, he's a good boxer, rough around the edges, doesn't have a
walking
lot
trope. Walking
right.
trope.
Yeah.
The basically. Human trope. That's
but that was the point. He wasn't supposed to be something any more than that. He was supposed to be a stumbling block for Rocky, who continues to make bad decisions throughout the movie and keeps paying for them.
And that's okay if watching Rocky stumble around was fun at all or interesting at all. And it wasn't. Right. It was so two-dimensional. You get I just can't resist. I got to play one of these lines, all right?
All right?
This is the kind of acting you get, all right? Hold on. Where is it? Here it is. Here's a line from the film.
Are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Are you hungry? Come on, let's face it. Stallone was always that Rocky character has always been a little bit slow. Now he has brain damage.
Believably slow. This is not believably slow. This is Stallone
This is Forrest Gump. Well, even beyond Forrest Gump level.
Yeah, and he's phoning it in. I can see it in his face. Their scenes, the way they play out, I'm like, they're not really that invested here. Stallone is acting more in those Untouchable movies or whatever they're called, Expendables,
Expendables.
Than he is in this. And I could think of a dozen movies where Stallone is more. You know what? You got to remember, too, this is Stallone's period where his own fame is waning, right? Mm-hmm. Starting to dip down, and it kind of parallels the story. And there's a lot of talk about how that's why he wrote it this way or whatever. Fine. Let's say that's true.
A bad accountant.
Yeah, a bad accountant. Screwed him over. But this is when he drifted into his stupid stuff like Demolition Man and, you know, things that were Judge Dredd. These kind of, not Judge Dredd. Yeah, Judge Dredd. These things that were really badly done and just kind of him phoning it in. This was some of that. And I understand you're at that place in your career. Now he's grizzled and old and trying to keep up that physique, but he's got more to say and he says it in an interesting way. And he can do this new Rambo and have it be affecting. And he can do that Rocky Balboa and make us go, oh, yeah. You know, he's been through a lot. Now he can go back and treat it right. This is not. None of this treats it right.
I think one of some of the scenes you're forgetting, too, are some of the sawn-in scenes between when we were watching the flashbacks from Rocky IV and Dolph Lundgren to the naked shower scene with Stallone, and which was quite disturbing.
It was pretty hot.
It was pretty hot. It was hot. But then him, you know, setting the character up is – he's broken. He is absolutely broken. They set that up very early in the movie. I think that acting when him and Adrian are in that in that locker room and in that shower room, I think that to me was phenomenal.
It was. They were heading down the right path, you know?
Right, absolutely. And then to the next point, I mean, he is an absolute family man at this point. He is no longer at the top of his game. He is having to deal with reality. He's no longer pursuing his dreams as much as he wants to. He's having to deal with it, with the reality of, you know, having a son and having to, you know, having that jealousy. And I think this was some of the stuff that he was probably going through in real life as well, because his son was that age, because his son was the actor.
Yeah.
And
you're raising a really interesting question, Brian Dunaway. Is this film too much about normal stuff that everyone deals with a great movie that would entertain us, because it's too familiar?
Yes.
I think that's exactly what the problem is, because that's what I was mentioning at the beginning of the show. I had expectations that it was going to be this, you know, another Rocky, and it ended up being much more down to earth, simple, day to day. And I've talked about this before, you know, sometimes I like those slice of life kind of movies. And even though I can't really associate with some of the things they go through, some of the other stuff I can.
I like them too. They're on and there's a ton of them on the Lifetime channel. You can just hunker down on an afternoon and just watch them all day.
Right, right. I don't know how many times I'm hiding in people's attics.
I don't know, man. It's so simple that way. But I did find one piece of interesting trivia. It is the only Rocky film, and perhaps it's because it was aimed at a different crowd, only Rocky film to be rated PG-13.
Right.
In the history of the series, or at least up to that point. I don't know if the new one was R or not. I don't remember.
I would think the new one was definitely PG-13.
Was it? It seems like it was. May have been PG, actually.
I'm pulling it up right now. I think it was PG.
PG, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember this. There wasn't much reason for them to F-bomb or do whatever they do. I don't know. It's the only sequel in the Rocky series not to be directed by Stallone, which is maybe that's where the problem was.
Maybe he's a better director than writer. Like, there were a lot of writing mistakes in this film.
Yeah.
And I think I can say that without being, you know, too snobby, because if you read about Rocky V, man, the world agrees it was a crap film.
Yeah.
But that, like, there were just so many ways in which I felt like Stallone as a writer wasn't pulling it off, wasn't, you know, hitting the high notes, if you will. And the thing that really, really illustrates that is the kid away from everybody, the kid's relationships with his friends, and the way that is all written, uh-huh. Especially the way this character of wannabe girlfriend is generated. It's awful.
Real simple, real sad. And by the way, if I knew it was this simple in junior high and high school, if I could just turn bully to friend like you're training a cat in World of Warcraft, if I knew I could just walk up to it with a stick and go, ooh, while it beat on me for a minute, and then it would just follow me around forever and be my buddy, I would have done that every day.
This may be something that's more common in the South, as well as maybe some of the streets and stuff too. It was not uncommon to get in a fight and then be friends afterwards. I mean, it is
within seconds.
I mean, it's often you would you'd be out somewhere, and and you there would be a fight, and then, you know, an hour later they'd all be hanging out together and drinking or doing whatever else.
Wow.
So I mean, it's
you live in Rocky Five land, because it's never been that easy for me.
It has totally been that easy.
You're reminding me of the Wilford Brimley train movie where Christian Slater and his buddy had a
train movie. What? Which?
End of the Line with
End of the Line where they
Christian
where
Slater. They a, he wasn't
no
no. What's Kevin his name? Same guy. big bar fight and then be buddies immediately thereafter.
Right. Yeah. It happens all the time. And it's just a matter of people on the bottom like that. Sometimes that's the only way they can really do the things they have to, because, you know, the kids are trying to survive.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get that you can tell that story, but they told it in a pandering, I'm 5 years old concept kind of way.
Whatever. I mean, one of the kids has a flock of seagulls haircut, and you haven't even mentioned that yet.
Oh, yeah, that kid was great. The best part about him was he was out of there. He was like, oh, yeah,
he's
done.
Not my friend. I didn't really like him anyway. Like keep him the anyway. Jacket. Bye. Did you notice that Rocky Jr. lets him wear the jacket during the whole rest of the film? Like, they're hanging out watching TV. The other kid's wearing his jacket. Yeah.
Because you know what? The other kid was just cold. He didn't know how to ask. Right. He didn't know how to say, excuse me, I am very poor. May I have your jacket? No.
I love how Brian Dunaway sees through people's motivations. Yeah. He's just cold.
I'm giving this movie an extra star because of that.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll tell you also, the reason why also Rocky's son finally he did fight, it wasn't because of anything else other than the fact he was down to his last denim jacket. And it was at that point.
It's a really good point.
It's really, you know, what's really interesting is I did think this was interesting. So the first movie was, or the last movie was 5 years previous to this one.
Right.
And to just jump right in on this previously on Rocky kind of montage at the beginning and have it quite literally pick up right after the fight is an interesting thing to pull off in 5 years.
Well, it's very Karate Kid 2, which picked up right where Karate Kid 1 left off.
Yeah, but to have that much time pass is interesting. And also, first chick in the bucket for me. I need a sound file for this. First chick in the bucket for me is the, I think, relatively famous side coach or whatever you want to call him. He was Mickey's like secondhand man, the black dude. I forget his name. I have to look him up, but he was always there in the corner with Mickey in the movies where Mickey was in them. And in the last couple, he was the main guy.
Right. The cut man. Right.
Yeah. Just rubbing boxing. His shoulders. You can do it, Rock. Blah, blah, blah guy. He's in this for about 2 seconds when Rocky's in the shower, having a breakdown and goes, go get Adrian. And he runs to go get her. And then he is poof. And it's as if he's never been in the first four. That guy had a huge role to play in Rocky, and suddenly he's nowhere to be seen after that. Total chick in the bucket.
Well, you know, Stallone was such a hurry to get out of Russia that he forgot him. So he's actually left still in Russia.
Chicken in Russia.
Chicken a red country. A red bucket country.
Yeah.
My chick in the bucket was not Rocky, but Rocky's Mickey had gotten what's the famous boxer's name? The other Rocky that Rocky's named after.
Rocky Marciano?
Yeah, Rocky Marciano. Wow. He's talking about the cufflink, and they're walking off, and he says, where's the other cufflink? And Mickey tells Rocky that he gave it to some bum, and I'm like, is that a reference I'm supposed to get? Because I started racking my brain.
They were kind of explicit about it, weren't they?
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
I tried to rack my brain on that, and I was like, what?
Oh, that's fine. That's a fine check in the bucket. I like that one.
Just to realize that the character you're talking about is named Duke, played by Tony Burton.
Yeah.
And he is in Rocky Balboa, the sixth film. I do not remember that at all.
I don't either, but I'm glad they brought
him back. Same
character? No,
yeah, same character.
Huh. You're talking about Duke? He's the promoter.
Oh, Brian, you're going to love Balboa. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
You really will. It's so good. Okay, fine.
Burgess Meredith did a great performance for as old as he was. I thought he did a fantastic job.
I love
that cauliflower ear always messes with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like he was heading down some serious like Parkinson's territory here. And the thing is, when he was portrayed as dying in 3, he was much more sort of with it and physical than this. And so it threw me off just a bit. It's just a little hard to watch because this is a long time after that. That was what, 82, 83? And here we are, 90. Or when was this movie made? 90? 89?
No, 90. This is 90.
Yeah, that's a bit of time for a guy in his 80s or whatever he was.
Yeah. He was 90 when he passed away. Yeah. So,
but I wasn't sad to see him.
Years after this,
I was happy.
You were sad.
Happy to see him. It's, you know,
yay! Yeah, it's Burgess Meredith. Yay!
Yeah, yeah.
So this is cool. It looks like all the other Rocky movies except for Rocky Balboa are streaming on Netflix. So I can do a little. I can play a little catch up in my spare time.
Yeah,
you can do a marathon.
I could do a marathon.
Oh no!
One of the things I always hate about Rocky is the fact that I'm like, I don't like to watch boxing. Why would I watch a boxing movie? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, every single time, he sucks me in, and I refuse to get sucked in. I'm like, no, I'm not going to get excited about the fight scenes. I'm just not going to get excited about the fight scenes. And every single time,
I actually
got sucked into the street fight scene. That was actually kind of
really because I thought that looked terrible. It was badly lit and looked like garbage.
It was one of the worst. It was absolutely one of the worst. But still, even at its worst, I still got sucked.
But like the ring stuff with Dolph Lundgren and the Mr. T fights, those all looked fantastic. They were incredibly well choreographed and really realistic looking. And whether or not, you know, that much spit flies when you punch a guy that hard, I don't know. But I can just say that's compelling. But here we didn't ever get it. Like I was like, oh my gosh, is he ever going to freaking fight anyone? Do I have to watch this other guy do it? Right.
Right.
Right. And apparently the doctors were wrong because you know what? He got punched in the face, bare fisted many times.
By the way, that brain damage thing, they completely ignore it in Rocky Balboa. It's as if it never happened. There's your chick in the bucket in that movie.
There is a mention of it. It's the whole thing with the new girl.
The new lady. You'd have to show me because I don't think they.
In Rocky Balboa, the new girl makes a case that doesn't sound like the greatest idea. Somebody, you know, his age with his history.
Well, yeah, I'm being very specific that he's got a degenerative freaking brain smash. You know, like they were making such a big whoop out in this one, and I was looking around and there was a lot of talk about that on forums and things about why it did not come up in the newest movie, and part of the deal was today. Even if you've got a condition like that at that stage, they'll still let you box. The limits are much lower or higher than five would have you believe.
You want to get in there, stupid? Go ahead.
Yeah.
This film raised that issue of licensing for me. That concept of the state allowing you to fight.
Oh, right.
And how ludicrous it is if a state or if many states will not let a fighter fight because all they got to do is go to a different country where they're going to make more money anyway. Right. So. Like, how weird is it that a doctor would have the decision to allow you to fight or not fight? Like, doctor's job is to do no harm, right? So,
that is a weird thing. Is that why Vegas is so easy to get a fight promoted in? Because
Nevada is one of the strictest. Like, really? it's just that Las Vegas happens to be there. They're very, very careful about fighters fighting in Nevada, and a lot of states follow Nevada's lead in terms of how they allow fighters to fight in the UFC and so on.
Yeah. The booby drawing made me laugh out loud.
I thought that was one of the best subtle parts of the movie. I didn't realize that they didn't ever address it again, but the fact that he was going to such a high class school that all the teachers were hot.
Yeah.
And now he had to go to the bad school where nothing is hot.
If I'd have drawn my teacher's boobs and my dad found it, we'd had a much more stern talking than Rocky had.
Right.
At least I think so.
I thought it was actually Rocky Zombie when he came in to see him that first time because he had like the raccoon eyes and his face was totally white and the lighting was off.
Pretty good drawing. She's got huge boobs. Okay, son, good night.
So did anybody else notice that the first couple of scenes of the film, the first couple of scenes after the montage, that they did a really good job of making up Rocky to look like somebody who had the crap beaten out of him?
Yeah.
But then they just dropped it?
Yep.
Yes, I forget it.
Mm-hmm. It was basically right after
the scene where he looks at the big booby drawing. Looks fine. Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, it's all good. They didn't care after that.
Hey, Muhammad Ali looks fine. He's been years since he fought. He looks fine.
I've had one black eye in my life. It was catching a football with my eye.
Yeah.
And went right through my hands. It's amazing. You try to catch
it. Did Brady throw that one?
It went right through my hands and hit me right point into my eye. Cut my eyebrow.
Wow. Damn, dude.
And that goes on forever. You first have that yellow thing, and then you have the proper black eye. Right. And then it just shrinks a little bit every day. There's a little less blackness.
Yeah.
Like, to properly portray that in a movie, you would have to have like 14 scenes of a little less blackness.
Yeah, I remember on Lost, they would do this. They would carry over people's scars for weeks at a time, and they'd slowly be dissipating. And
well, they were using, was it Mederma? What is that stuff, the scar?
Oh, I don't know.
Stuff? Yeah, perfect.
The Dharma.
Dharma Mederma. Anyway, I just thought him putting his kid to sleep was really awkward. He was treating a 13-year-old like a 4-year-old.
Kissing him on the neck and
that stuff. You know, I mean, Nick is not opposed to a hug here and there and hold my hand here and there, and he's 12 and it's normal and it's all that. But there's something off-putting about Rocky's just acting. And at first I thought, oh, well, this is because he's so out of touch with his family. He hasn't been here. And I don't think that's really what they were doing. I'm giving the film too much credit when I say that. I think that they were just trying to show him, show affection, and it was the wrong level for the wrong age.
I don't think so, because I think the way they're portraying Italians, and I don't know much about Italian families. I don't
as far as all your stereotypes go, this is
Mark,
how Italians,
you know, right? Mark, Mark Spagnola, if you could please let us, you know, educate us. But, you know, even Paulie was like, used to wet the bed. You know, they're so out of touch with the kids that they don't understand, because they miss the kids growing up so much. It's not just Rocky. It's all the men. They're not attached in the lives of the kids. And I thought it was weird. I agree. It was kind of weird, but I didn't find it off-putting or unusual. Like, oh, yeah, weird.
I thought it was a little bit weird. Here's a joke for you. Got no time to listen to my own kid, because I got this new kid I like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's got muscles.
Yeah. What's this like? It's like a million things. I'm trying to think of a good example of a big prominent example where clearly your attention should be on the one.
You know,
thing,
I tried to think of some too. Well,
can we call that the
wise.
Home Alone trope?
I know what it is. That's a great one. That's a good one. I but like it's it. Also pretty prominent. Any of those movies about a teacher who's changing the lives of these kids, how do I reach these kids kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he's always just so into the kids at school and turning their lives around, but they forget about the home life. They go home and they're grumpy with their spouse. I don't know why I'm talking in that voice.
This is how we sound. We forget about our kids.
That happens a lot. Oh, check it out.
Super montage.
Two montages. Two of them. Yeah.
There was more than two, weren't there?
Go for it. I was either playing Crazy Climber or listening to a bad motivational.
Rock hard, buddy blow.
Rock hard, buddy blow. Flip the jab. Flip the jab.
Yeah. There were a couple of those, and they were like almost back to back, and they were both real bad.
Yeah.
And I hated them both. What else?
So can we get back to my trope?
Yeah,
my
what's your trope?
It would be the lawyer-friendly cameo, which, of course, in this case is a cameo by Don King, not played by Don King.
Whoa, wait. Right. Oh, I see what you mean. He's the shinning in this movie.
Right. The lawyer-friendly cameo requires that you pretty much do everything except say the name of the person making the cameo but not making the cameo.
Yeah.
So, for example, Bruce Willis in that movie Loaded Weapon. Do you remember that?
Oh, right.
Excuse me.
Captain Picard as King Richard and Men in Tights.
If that had needed lawyer friendliness.
Hey, guys. I want to give Audible.com a little love today for sponsoring the show. Man, these guys are fantastic. Over 100,000 titles, periodicals, unabridged books, everything you could ever want to listen to. It's the way I check out books now. I jog and I listen. I listen and I jog. It's Halloween almost, and so I'd like to recommend the myriad of Stephen King novels available on the Audible library. You can get any one of those for free. All you got to do is sign up today by going to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get your free audiobook download today. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
The best example for me, Coming to America with the McDowell's restaurant, which goes all the way to even explaining how it's not a ripoff of McDonald's, we swear to God.
Right. Yeah, right. That's interesting.
I loved that. I loved the portrayal of Don King in this film. I thought it was spot.
What was it? McDonald's has the golden arches. We
got the golden arcs.
Yeah,
the arcs. That's what it was. Yeah.
They got the Big Mac. We got the Big Mick.
Yeah. I love that movie. The guy who played Don King here played a character in, got to find it here. I wrote it down. Yep. Hostetler in Deadwood. And he's freaking great in that show. Doesn't live very long. But anyway, That guy who played the Don Kane lookalike, the Duke guy, he was also this Hostetler guy in Deadwood. And if you've not seen Deadwood, oh my gosh, that was really good in Deadwood.
Can I give you the weirdest example ever of the lawyer-friendly cameo?
Yeah, go.
Sure.
In Spider-Man 2, you may have never noticed this, there's a scene where Mary Jane runs away from her wedding, and she passes by a man in a long black trench coat. And the audio, if you listen to the alternate commentary on the DVD Blu-ray, yeah, you're going to find out that guy in the long black trench coat is Frank Castle, a.k.a. the Punisher.
Oh, really?
But at the time, there was a Punisher movie being made with Thomas Jane in it that was owned by a different studio. So they couldn't have Thomas Jane be in that long black trench coat. So they got his stunt double from the Punisher movie.
Oh, that's right. Fox had Punisher and Sony had Spider-Man. That is correct. Yeah.
So the ultimate lawyer-friendly cameo, but of course they didn't say enough about it as you're watching it to catch on.
He was Trenchcoat Man, as movie turned out to be.
That'd be interesting. I wonder if they could use something like that to hold on to the rights of a character. Because, the studios will buy a character, and then if they don't release a movie with that character after a certain amount of time, then they lose it. That's that's why there's that horrible Corman Fantastic Four out there. Yeah. But I wonder if anyone's ever used that to hold on to a set of characters. We'll just make Punisher a cameo that Mary Jane runs by.
Then
we can hold on to that character.
Yeah. By the way, Thomas Jane's great Punisher. The movies he was in, not very good.
Oh, really?
He's great as that guy. He should be that guy. There's no problem with that.
Can I talk about a Rocky fight trope?
Oh, hell yeah.
Rocky, so help me, if you turn around one more time and walk away from Tommy Gunn to get punched in the back of the head, I'm going to punch you in the back of the head.
That's definitely a Rocky trope.
Throw him in that fence. He should be pretty much out cold. I'll go ahead and walk away now.
Right, Polly, let's have a conversation. He thought he was going to be all bad and kicked my butt, right? Didn't happen. That's right. Oh, no.
I'll bet you actual fighters, especially that are long experience like Rocky Balboa, in real life, I'll bet you actual fighters never turn their back on anybody.
Back up and point at them. I see you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that. I mean, all the weird controversies in boxing, like Mike Tyson biting the ear off Holyfield, that's looking right at you. That ain't behind your back. Well, it's slightly behind your neck, but no one ever turned their head so that, Dolph Lundgren could take a cheap shot while you're walking back to your corner.
Which, of course, is the huge, and I'm sorry to spoil this, but it's the huge point of the movie Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah.
The whole film could have been called Keep Your Guard Up at All Times, right? It could have been Defend Yourself at All Times. And that is just weird. You're right, Brian Dunaway. That's weird.
I call that Karate Kid Part 4, Part 2, by the way.
Part 2. Well, I call the side-to-side like windshield wiper the Karate Kid thing. Gotta move side-to-side like windshield wiper.
Yeah. Oh, the training. Yeah. It's terrible. All right. I like the Christmas Vacation cameo there in the house.
Every scene from another movie was always from a better movie.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Right. What else? The Sage scene seemed really, I don't know. There was some, whenever you see somebody working and then you find out they're dead way too early, that weirds me out. That poor kid.
I've completely forgotten he had died. So I did not even think about that the whole movie until we all started up and I'm like, oh no, he's dead.
Yeah, I thought about it the whole time. The last fight scene, we've already said that was just shit. That was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
What was good? It was a little wrestly, but
but not nearly enough of one.
Yeah. Do you know, by the way, that guy, that Tommy Gunn,
shotgun, or
Tommy Gunn,
whatever.
Yeah. You can do it.
he was a real boxer. We all know that, but he was the guy that got AIDS right before a big fight. In Vegas.
On purpose?
Or he didn't
make it sound like he went out and got. He didn't know he was going to fight, and he said, I'm going to go get AIDS.
Well, in a way, he did, because he was living a pretty rowdy lifestyle. But he contracted HIV. They would not let him fight, obviously. So he had to back down from that. All these years later, and that was 96. All these years later, 2007, so I guess that'd be 11 years later, he claimed to be HIV free, that the medication had completely cleared him. So he did a bunch of tests, and sure enough, they were coming up negative. Because he wanted to fight again. And ultimately, I guess it just didn't happen. Or
I guess
I don't
that's
know
a reflection of real life, because I guess you can find a doctor anywhere that'll let you go through.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. These people that claim to be cured of AIDS always weirds me out.
Tommy Morrison is also famous for claiming that he believed that he was susceptible to getting HIV because he claims to have had sex with more women than Wilt Chamberlain, which is a really, really
unlikely.
I like it.
Well, I think maybe more dirty needle women or, you know, something bad like that. Maybe he more susceptible women maybe he slept with. I don't know.
Can we just talk about his mullet for just a second?
That's a thing of beauty.
Sweet mullet.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, he didn't have much of a mullet when he was wearing his low cut shirts and everything. But when you put a turtleneck on a mullet, I'm telling you, man,
it just pushes it right out.
It's pretty
special. It's so great to see Steve Sanders from Beverly Hills 90210 getting some work.
That's pretty good.
Love it.
Steve Sanders. I haven't heard that name in 15 years.
It was the exact same haircut, though.
It was, too. Right. Yeah. So tell me why exactly you need why you need to give him the nickname Machine Gun when his name is already Tommy Gun?
Yeah, right? That's a better name.
A Machine Gun. Well, maybe people didn't know what a Tommy Gun was. It's like, what is a Tommy Gun? I don't get it.
Really? That's a terrible explanation. Everyone knows what a Tommy Gun is. If I was Tommy Gun, I would just go by Tommy Gun. I would never put Machine in there. That's so stupid. Or as they called him later,
Tommy Hot Glue Gun.
What they call him, the clone. The clone,
the Rocky's
something.
Robot, Rocky's robot.
Something they called it. I have clone, a clip. I'll find it. Clone something.
Yeah.
The clone
was pretty cool.
Fighter. The clone attack of the. No, it wouldn't be attack exactly. of the clones. I don't remember.
Puppet. He called him a puppet lots of times. There were several other references. It was all derogatory.
And man, did they turn on him. He wins a fight. That was also very contrived. Like, really? Yeah. You're going to have everybody go negative, including the reporter, babe, place? Okay. They're all going to go that negative.
But how much did you love Rocky at that point when you realized how selfless he was as far as, you know, wanting him to win no matter what? You know, he wasn't
in his basement punching a bag and scaring the cousin out of his chair every five minutes. That was a real good scene.
That was a powerful scene.
Can we talk about the crazy press conference? Like, there were so many things wrong with the press conference after that fight.
Here's the thing that was right. So according, again, this is the internet talking, but the trivia states that all those guys are actual sports reporters. Now,
sure, they were. Yeah, there were a bunch of them.
Which is funny because none of that felt authentic.
There was no Howard Cosell up there.
No, not then.
No, right. Not then. But
is he dead? He's around. Or is he dead?
He's dead.
Okay. All right. Just check. Okay. Mm-hmm. Brandy, what were you going to say? Something about the thing.
There's just so many things wrong with that press conference. It was completely out of control the entire time. And I couldn't get over how many people were there. Like, they had a press conference just let in everybody. It was like an arena full of reporters. And then for whatever reason that can't possibly be explained by his talent and his intellect, the Don King character hacked into the sound system and came along with his own mic working just fine on the frequency of the wireless that's in this place to take over. And he's louder than everybody else, too.
You don't understand. He had a Mr. Microphone.
Well, yeah. He's had a nice
hey, good, look at
phone.
Me back mate, later to
Didn't
pick you up.
Notice the purple foam tip? That's in that. When you use one of those, you're automatically louder.
Wow.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. By the way, Howard William Cosell, who was originally Cohen before he changed his name, born in 1918, died April 23rd, 1995, at the ripe old age of 77 in New York City, New York.
Nice. Classy. Classy.
I liked him. He was all right.
Except for that one thing.
He had a bunch of wives. Let's see.
So did Tommy Morrison.
I'm sorry. He had one wife.
Yeah, wasn't that? Marv Alpert that had the big thing?
Yes, it was, Brian. Yes.
What was Howard Cosell's thing?
He didn't have I don't think he had a big controversy, did
he?
What was it?
Howard Cosell, basically his career ended when he made a statement about very large black athletes and referred to slavery and the
the comment look at that little monkey run at the during the
I don't remember that at all.
I kind of do remember that.
I totally do. Once I read this, like, oh, God, I totally remember that that was.
But see, that's what, but the thing about, what's his name? The other guy you were talking about, his name just left me.
Marv Albert.
Marv Albert was great because he was the one biting hookers' necks and stuff.
Biting hookers.
Biting him in the butt and stuff like that. Like that big old chunk of flesh out of their left butt cheek.
Whatever, yes. Man. I'm paying you.
To each his own. To each his own. let's do some clippage. These are clips from the film. Sorry, what?
This movie had a lot of clip potential.
Laughable clips. I mean, get ready, folks, for the acting of a lifetime. Here we go.
I hope you have a lot of Duke.
Here is Rocky mumbling away in the shower talking to his wife.
Remember when Mick said when he was fighting, sometimes he'd fight so hard that he was thinking that he broke something.
You cut him off there, man. Thank you.
I don't remember that scene either. I mean, I don't remember him.
That's him in the shower, isn't it? After the shower. Yeah.
Here, want to hear me do it? Here's me doing it. Bit. There it is. That's my impression. Bit. let's see. Oh, here's another little scene. Here's him talking about his hands.
I can't stop my hands from shaking.
I can't stop my hands. Now, look, I'm not one to make fun of somebody who's actually been pounded into submission and is actually having a medical problem.
I thought that was actually pretty good.
It was bad.
I thought it was actually pretty good.
All right, well, there's more. You'd be glad that there's more. Really nice fight.
I want to tell everybody that the flight over was really nice.
I meant flight, not fight, flight. here's a terrible joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Madame.
Damn who?
My damn foot's caught in the door.
That's an old joke.
I hope you got all of them because it's like you did like two or three of those. They were all horrible. I loved. I never heard of them either.
One's enough.
I'd love to know how much of it was scripted and how much of it was. No, I got so funny. Okay, roll the cameras again.
There you are actually you're actually saying that his performance was awesome. If you think this is so. So ad-libbed, right?
Yeah.
It's not. It's just or
it can still be two-dimensional and be ad-libbed. I mean, look at what I just did.
It could be a bad ad-libber is what he's right. saying.
I got here's my impersonation of Rocky. All right, I got a joke.
Roll the camera,
you.
You guys. I got an idea.
Right. I mean, it can be just as flat and depthless as what I just did.
And I'm telling you guys, people of the world, people of Earth, hear my voice. Go go see Get Carter. Go watch Rocky Balboa. Go see,
Stop or my... Oh, no, not that one.
No,
oh,
not
that's
that
a
one.
Fantastic no, movie it's talking about.
That was not a fantastic movie.
Don't even watch that.
That's the worst thing ever. What was the one you did?
The worst thing ever.
The last Rambo movie.
It was great.
You know what? Actual characterization as opposed to just
and
bullets.
Acting. It's got some
you know what
acting.
You know what I just realized?
Hmm.
There's not a single thing I've ever seen Sylvester Stallone in that I didn't like.
Oh, stop.
Really?
You've seen the Rhinestone movie.
I've seen the Rhinestone movie. I loved Cobra.
Okay, Cobra's good. Top. I love Over the Top.
Yeah.
No, with you on most of his work. He's got a great thing.
Stop My Mom Will Shoot. That was hilarious.
No,
oh, come on now, really?
No.
Hilarious.
No.
It's
still Getty. I can't defend it because I didn't see it, but really.
No. She's not even the best Golden Girl. You know who she is, right? The best Golden Girl is Bea Arthur, by far.
Bea Arthur,
right,
sure. Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Betty
I have to
White?
Go with Betty White.
Oh,
yeah.
Can't go with Betty. Just because she's popular now, you can't go with Betty White. You got to go with the one that was 7'5" and did a Futurama voice once. You have to go with her. All right. She was the Fembot 2000.
I'm looking now through Sylvester Stallone's career, and I'm having trouble finding something that I couldn't at least watch.
You should watch his original porno he made.
I mean, Copland. Did you see Copland?
Copland is really, really. He's really good in that.
I didn't like Cliffhanger that much, and the reason why is because I didn't like how it started because it was like so depressing.
Do you know the best Sly Stallone movie that doesn't have Sly Stone in it? It's Payback with the other guy.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's Payback.
So, yeah.
So why are you assigning Sylvester Stallone to that film?
That feels like a Sly Stallone movie to me.
Oh gosh, it doesn't. No, it's way too smart.
Mm. Well, see, this is my point. There are times, like Get Carter, smart movie, I think. It's also a thing I yell when it's dinner time and my daughter Carter is not at the table.
Get Carter!
Let's move on to some angry acting. Oh, yeah, some angry acting early on.
Was there any in this? Huh?
Oh,
I just can't remember any.
Bad angry acting. Here's one.
You cost us everything.
Huh? That's what I need. It was a mistake. You think I thought this all was going to happen?
You walk away from me. You just gave up our life. And you think it's like some stupid thing? Holly, Holly, do you know what you did? Oh. Do you know the seriousness of what
I
you
understand
did?
It.
Do you then
I
answer
understand
me?
The whole freaking thing.
The whole freaking thing. He would have dropped thing. The F back in the R days.
Right.
Paulie's fine, though, as an actor. He didn't.
Yeah,
I mean,
like him.
He's fine.
He's playing an ugly oaf, and he does okay. But like, this is one of those series. The whole series of the films, I constantly wonder why Balboa never strangles Paulie. Right? Like, just like in his sleep, hold a pillow over his face.
But you know, he's that guy. He's just the guy that's constantly making. You know, he's dragging. Balboa is dragging him along with him in everything he does because he's faithful to his family, and yeah. You know, it's just that thing that always screws him up and trips him up.
Yeah.
And if he strangles him, then who's going to drive Rodney Dangerfield around and back right. to school?
But remember how in It's a Wonderful Life, Uncle Billy messes up and the whole perfect film example. Is based on this one stupid example of drunk Uncle Billy making a bad mistake? Imagine if It's a Wonderful Life was six movies,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Drunk Uncle Billy needs to accidentally step in front of a bus at some point.
Hey, a quick correction on IMDb. They said that this was the only film that Stallone didn't direct. That's not true. The first movie, and maybe all of them for all I know. I have to go look. But it was the same guy, John G. Abel Abelson again. Yeah. He did the first movie. And here's what they won. 1976 Academy Awards. Best Picture, won. Best Director, they won. Best Actor nominated, Sylvester Stallone was nominated. Best Actress, Talia Shire. Sylvester Stallone, Best Original Screenplay. Burgess Meredith got Best Supporting Actor, and so did Burt Young, who played Paulie. Best Film Editing, and they won for that. Best Music and Best Sound Editing, also nominated. Huge year for that movie.
Yeah, right.
And jumped to five, dude. Nobody wins shit on five.
Oh, my gosh.
It was definitely not. Yeah. Razzie.
Film Sack Awards coming up.
It's a cool movie. All right, moving on. What else here? We got some more sound clips. Here's one. Adrian there's some real bad acting from her.
Well, I was looking all over for you downstairs. It's kind of depressing.
It's kind of depressing.
Yeah. It's kind of depressing. You want to? I'm like a meter. Feed me some quarters.
Wow. I forgot all about that.
She says, so she was supposed to be in the fifth one, and she's right. not. The she is portrayed as having passed away. Or sixth one, sorry. And apparently that was an agreed-upon thing between her and Sylvester Stallone. Like, that wasn't them having a falling out or thinking she sucked in the last one. That was, like, literally, she's even in the credits because there's some flashback. Of course there's flashback.
Right.
But, man, that movie's good. You guys got to watch it. All right, moving on to See That Bump in Front of You. What?
See that bum in front of you.
Oh, I wrote bump. He said bum.
Bum.
I wrote bump for some reason. Here's my favorite mispronunciation of the film.
The fact that you're here and doing as well as you're doing gives me, what do you call it, a motivation?
I love that. I wrote that in my notes too.
Motivation. Pretty good. I'm not motivated
it gives me,
enough.
What do you call it? It gives me diarrhea.
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 Here's the one last Mickey moment.
Get up, you son of a bitch.
It's always fun to hear that.
I love that idea.
I miss him.
Bring me the Batman.
I do. He was the Penguin, right?
Yeah.
He was the Penguin.
Original series, yeah.
Oh, he's great. If you want to see him, if you want to really laugh at that guy and hear him say terrible, terrible things, watch Grumpy Old Men 2. He is disgusting in that movie and very, very funny. Really? And he's older than this. This is like right before he died. You should watch that. It's very funny. What else here? Oh, creepy promoter guy. So our first Don King moment.
Hello?
Mrs. Balboa, George Washington Duke here.
Yes?
Mrs. Balboa, can you hear it? Listen close. You must be able to hear it.
Hear what?
The sound of the parade going by, of opportunity knocking. I mean, what's it going to take to get you people to realize I'm giving you a chance to pull yourselves together again?
What an ass.
You people?
Yeah, who are you calling you people there?
Wait, so is opportunity in the parade knocking, or is the parade knocking?
What a creepy thing, sitting there drinking.
Are we going to just jam a bunch of idioms into one sentence?
Yes.
Right.
The answer is yes.
He does that the whole movie. He does these crazy things.
Great. He actually had some mixophores that I've never heard before. I was really impressed with his talking.
Yeah, he was all right. He said things like this.
Simply put, you're the great white hope.
You're the great white hope.
Hope.
Hope. And then he said things like,
hold the bullshit.
Hold the bullshit.
And of course you captured him saying
this one. This one right here.
You a damn fool.
Oh, I love that one. That was my favorite.
You a damn fool. I mean, he was serious. He wanted. He knew what he wanted. I don't know how you do that, though. Is this what Don King, did he just show up in pictures and just like, hey, and start sticking his head and stuff, and that's how he got noticed?
That's exactly how he did it. Because he went home, teased his hair.
That's right. Who's that guy with the hair? Let's get a picture of him right next to
I'm a little surprised they stopped short of doing his hair. Like, they didn't do the Don King hair. And that would have been like Randy's point about lawyered up, whatever you call it. What'd you call it?
What's the lawyer-friendly cameo?
Oh, lawyer-friendly cameo. Wouldn't have been so friendly with the hair. Yeah. Wouldn't been bad.
Do you have any more Duke ones in there? Because there's a few that I love. Like, butts in the bucket. Okay, I won't mention them until later.
I'll find out. Let's see what this one is.
All I need is a hook.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. You didn't understand that. Neither did I. That's why I captured it. Can someone please tell me what he says here? I'll play it again. You tell me what you think the Duke says.
All I need is a hook.
What?
All I need is a hooker.
A hook. No, just
all
a hook.
All I need is a hook.
Oh, a hook. Oh.
He just needs a hook.
I would have went for hooker, but whatever.
I think what he should have said was, all I need is another take because no one can understand what the hell I just said. All I need is another take.
He just needs something to get people interested.
All right. I got no family people. I don't remember. Oh, yeah. This is a weird thing to say.
I got no family people.
I got no family peoples.
It's the kid. It's Tommy Gunn, and he says this.
I got no family people.
I got no family
people. You know the people in your family. The family people.
You know what I'm talking about. No, I ain't got brain damage.
So you're driving behind some minivan on the back of the window. They got the family people.
Yeah, that's right.
I got none of them.
Got a whole car full of family people.
You know, I'm back in my car. Guys, just me.
Yeah. Here's that line again. I hate.
Are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Pretty much anything Stallone delivers in this film, you're going to say you hate it. Every line by him is hateful.
Yeah.
Here's something about money.
Come on, give me the money. Come on, I gotta eat.
All right, so
he's gotta eat. He's hungry. See?
Yeah.
Those by kids the way, are, that kid.
Yeah.
The bully kid, Kevin Connolly from Entourage.
Oh, this one?
Come on!
That kid?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Weird.
The guy that he punches, the guy who ends up with the jacket anyway.
Oh, wow. That's cool. He looked familiar. There's something about him. Yeah. He looked familiar, but I guess they're all rode up.
Still wearing that jacket.
Right. Yeah, still wearing that jacket.
Vinny Chase, come on, you know you're going to do this movie. No, I'm not going to do the movie. Yeah, you know. Okay, we'll do the movie. Yeah, that's
come on!
You know which episode of Entourage that is? No. Every episode of Entourage.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen that show.
You haven't seen Entourage?
No. Just haven't gone around to it. It's one of those, it's on a list of things that I think I should see, but then don't really ever have time for.
Just jump right to episodes with the porno chick in.
No. Scott has to watch from the beginning. I love it when Scott hasn't seen a show. And then he watches it from the beginning, and then we get awesome illustrations like the Mad Men. I'm sorry, the recently we got the illustration. Breaking Bad illustrations. Thank you.
Yeah, the Breaking, because the Breaking Bad thing was, saw season one and two of season two, first two episodes of season two way back in the day, and then forgot to catch up. And then I'm like, oh, all of it's on Netflix. I wonder if this is still good. I remember it being great. And then I started eating it, and then I couldn't stop eating. Before you knew it, I was like a fat guy at a buffet, dude. I'd ate that show in like a week.
Are you hungry?
And this afternoon, we just watched the next to last episode of the second season, which has some effed up stuff.
Oh, big time effed up. But you haven't gotten effed up yet.
With the B in apartment 23.
Yeah.
Entourage also. It's there's a lot of memorable stuff in our Entourage. Right.
Nudity?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Does it involve Jeremy Piven and his man wiener?
You never see Jeremy Piven. I don't think you ever even see him outside of a suit.
Oh, well, never mind then. Let's move on to The Duke is a Wonderful Man.
Well, then I'm not interested. I
know. No Jeremy Piven wiener? I'm out. The Duke is a Wonderful Man, says this hooker lady. Whoops, here she is.
Listen, Duke is a Wonderful Man. Put the top on.
Hey, forget about the top, would you?
I think that lady he kept hanging around with and it was always hanging around, I think that was a dude. I'm not kidding either. I really do.
From Pet Cemetery Return.
It's Delia Shepherd.
Delia Shepherd, yeah. She was in Penthouse.
Oh, well, before that, though.
Scott does go for the attractive naked ladies.
2 years before that.
No, I mean only before, 2 years before that. I mean before that, she was Eric Billingsley from...
Oh.
She was in the ultimate film sack film we'll never see, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Oh, we will never probably see that. You know who else is in that? Right-wing activist, ex-SNL star... what's her name?
Victoria Jackson. Yes. She and I are
Twitter buddies or something, right?
There's an album that this guy's promoting and he asked me, hey, did you like the album? I'm like, oh yeah, it's actually one of the best versions of the such and such song that I've ever heard. He says, do you mind if I quote you on that? And like, yeah, sure. So he puts my quote on his website, and apparently he is a staunch
hardcore tea bag party, whatever.
Right. Nice. Right under a quote from Victoria Jackson about the same album. It's like, okay, me and Victoria Jackson right there on the same level.
It's like three or four super hardcore right wingers and then Brian Ibbett's name on this thing.
Right.
That's right.
I have a hardcore right winger comedian that follows me on Google+. Nick DiPaolo.
No. Oh, I know Nick DiPaolo. He's on the Louis show all the time.
Yeah, I don't know why he's a follower on Google+ for whatever reason.
Is he a right winger dude?
Yeah, and Nick, if you listen to FilmSack, send us an email.
I doubt it. Hi, Nick. Doubt it. Let's get to really bad acting. So here's 13 seconds of an exchange between Sly Stallone and his wife that I think is just, if there are students just thinking about acting now that could outdo this. This is terrible.
Yeah, I do see. What are you, you twist around my dick. No, I see
what's happening. Come on, it's you. It's not him. You can't live backwards. Come on, you can't turn back the clocks. We live now. We live here.
Hey, Andrew, I know where we live. What do you think? I'm stupid.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. I mean, it makes me a little sad. I want to cry right now. That is so bad.
That was pretty bad.
Oh, my gosh. There was a lot of that. All right, bad radio joke. Actually, it's TV. It's a televised piece. And the very end of this gets cut off, which I feel bad about. I don't know how it happened when I made the file, but I wasn't about to go back and fix it. Not in Rocky V anyway. But anyway, it's a bad joke about the new name of the fighter.
Tommy Gunn has been said to be such a student of Rocky Balboa's style, he's been nicknamed by the press the Clone Ranger.
Clone Ranger. That was it.
That's what it was. Ranger.
Do you guys, I wanted to segue in. Do you guys seen the Lone Ranger trailer?
Yes, I have. I've seen it.
Yes. It made me kind of excited. Yeah, I kind of
pretty
good.
You like the westerns.
I do, and I like Lone Ranger as an idea to make more up to date and less cheesy. Mm-hmm. And I also think Johnny Depp looks pretty good.
I think
as Tonto. I don't like that he is basically the top billing for the whole damn thing.
Right.
Because even the poster is his like eyes with a
The outline of the bird on his head too.
I mean, I think that's just
around the logo.
That's bad form. Because I know why they're doing it. I get it. I get the economics of Hollywood. But it's the Lone Ranger. You got to have him up in front.
But Army Hammer is not a household name unless you're talking about baking soda.
No. You're brushing with it. All right.
Can I just say no? I don't cast Johnny Depp as Tonto.
Well, I don't know that I would either. In fact, if I was doing it, I would want to cast an actual Native American actor. Mm-hmm. And now people will say, "Well, hold on, Scott. He's got Native American blood. He's 1/13th Cherokee, something, something." And that's fine. And I know that. And I'm not saying that people can't play characters of other ethnicities. I would have chosen somebody who was like. Yeah.
Yes, because
somebody off
the
reservation.
That would not have been uncomfortable at all. Okay, we want you to act like a very stereotypical Indian. Please.
No, but he's not going. But that's the thing. What's worse, a white guy pretending to be a stereotyped Indian or not? And the thing is that reportedly, now we don't know until we see it, but this is a very authentic portrayal. This isn't just follow the white man around and wear the tight pants. It's not like the old way. And the funny thing is the old show, but not the radio play, but the actual old black and white TV serials and the movie
Tonto
matinees.
Was crazy smart.
But he was an actual Native American actor.
Right.
So
was this thing really to follow the white man around and wear the tight pants?
Right.
Well, you know what I mean? That outfit is like so nondescript of any of the nations.
Didn't even catch that when he first did it.
But you know what I mean? Like none of that was like authentic garb. But apparently this stuff that Johnny Depp's all decked out in is like major authentic.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Like that weird bird head thing. It's supposed to be like really hardcore authentic.
I guess I'll allow it. I'm just saying Johnny Depp is the woman who played Willy Wonka. And I don't know. He's going to be Johnny Depp. I'm going to have a really, really hard time.
He's going to be Keith Richards playing an Indian sidekick. All right. We got one last one. This is Tommy sounds really weird here. So this is Tommy yelling, and he sounds really strange. So I captured it.
Man, what the hell happened in there? I won the damn title, and these people think I'm a bum. Man, why didn't you take it from me?
Ooh, dude. Relax.
I'm a bum. You think I'm a bum?
I don't know what he said. Did anybody know what he said?
I got all that. I can break all that down for you.
It was all right.
Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Yes, right. I am. Do you have a bucket of chicken?
That leads us to awards. And that means a chance for us to give some awards to this otherwise pretty pathetic outing for Rocky and crew. And they are this. The two-dimensional shitty dad award goes to Sylvester Stallone's portrayal of Rocky Balboa, whose real name is Robert, it turns out. And this movie was the first time we've heard that.
Yeah.
The hey, if we give that kid a dumb-looking earring, he will be all street and stuff award.
Once again, folks, this was 1990.
Indeed. The fastest a crowd has turned on a guy in movie history award goes to the Tommy Gunn getting kind of screwed there at the end. And then finally, the finest pimp coat I've seen in years award goes to, what's his name? The Duke, for wearing that horrible pimped out coat.
Yeah.
All he needed was like a little cane walking around. He would have been perfect.
I thought he had a cane.
No Star Trek connections, although I'm sure there are some, but for some reason, why don't I have those here? Oh, no, I do have those here.
Yeah, there's a Star Trek.
No, I have it right here. It is, hold on, I got to copy it over. Michael Pataki played Nikolai Koloff. Who is that? Anyway, in TOS, he played the Klingon Korax in The Trouble with Tribbles. Those are the Klingons that just had bad eyebrows and not heads. They were all bumpy. Next Generation, he played Karnos in the Too Short a Season. Also sounds like a Klingon. Mark Thompson, yes, that of the Mark and Brian radio show. I don't know what that is. Some nationally syndicated piece of garbage.
It's a real thing.
Is it? Yeah. Is it good? Is it dumb? Okay. I don't like those shows.
And Mark and Brian were in an episode in The Next Generation.
Oh, well, that's the one. Played the mutated Anthony Breville in The Identity Crisis. And I guess the other guy was as well. Brian was. The soundtrack, great. I give it an S for shit.
I give it for not trying at all.
Yeah. A lot of that reworking of the old Rocky theme and then these terrible montage songs and...
But you totally nailed it, Brian, with the whole, like, now we'll do the slow versions, like the Brady Bunch when, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But then when it was sad Marcia coming home.
You know, there's a long history of classical music that is called theme and variations, and television and films have murdered it.
Yeah.
Buried it.
I kind of like it, though. And I hate it, but I like it.
It made me laugh a lot of times, I'll tell you that.
Well, here's what we like to do when we laugh. We like to listen to you guys sum up this movie in 140 characters or less. Go, Randy.
Rocky V. Sylvester Stallone attempts to make a movie about what happens when you get impoverished, yet happen to be really famous before Kickstarter existed. So it makes no sense whatsoever.
Perfect. Brilliant. Also, Dunaway, what do you got?
Rocky V. Brain damaged and flat broke, Rocky Balboa pursues his true calling, pulling shit out of people's ears.
I forgot about that too.
$1 for lunch, Dad? Really? Won't you just give this straight to the bullies and save me the hassle?
Yeah. Brian Dunaway, I want to violate you like a parking meter.
Yeah. Right. I think I have that in my what I learned. Also, Brian Ibbett.
Rocky V. The director goes right down the checklist of what makes a good Rocky film and then does nothing to string them together with any substance or depth. Rock hard body blow.
Flip the jab.
Perfect. Well, here's what I learned while you made all of Philadelphia look like a cow's anus. Only in Rocky World can you go from millionaire to sitting in Andy's bar in 15 minutes flat.
Love it.
Right.
Boy, that bar, dude. Woo. Yeah. Pulling money out of your kid's ear on the first day of ghetto school in front of everybody is a really bad idea.
Kids really go to school through cut holes in the fences. This is your entrance right here.
Yep.
Here's the front door. Come on through. There you go.
Yep. And then finally, when I start boxing, remind me to hire a fur-wearing Don King cartoon. And that's what I learned when I watched this movie. You got an email here from, I'd like to read your emails, and it's from Niall from the UK. And he says, hey, Sack Squad. I haven't been called that before.
I like that.
Wanted to chime in with my 2 pence on the... He's from Britain, see?
His tuppence.
Yeah, his 2 pence on the subject of why characters in horror films have to be so stupid. We talked about this last week. Brian, you weren't here for that, for the pet cemetery.
Right.
I think that in a film where the protagonist is smart, but yet still is unable to avoid the horrible things that happen to them, the audience is quickly left with the impression or the conclusion that the conclusion of the film is fairly inevitable and may then become bored. With stupid characters, the audience is then drawn in as a comparison. There's a sense of hope for the characters. If they could just make a single sensible decision. Smart characters are victims of an unsolvable situation. Dumb characters are victims of themselves. Thanks for the Zachary. Niall from the UK. I would just say that. N-I-A-L-L.
It feels like the beginning of a thesis.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Film school?
Yeah, probably goes to, yeah, I'm here at Oxford on Wetting Green or whatever the hell they call those things.
You're welcome for that stereotype.
Well, whatever.
Wow.
They can't be offended. They got bad teeth.
They can't be offended. It's not possible.
excuse me, cough switch. All right, I'm going to, by the way, send your emails to filmsack@gmail.com. I'm going to do, I know sometimes I put the Fletcher stuff at the end, but I decided we got some good ones that I want to play right up front.
Oh, cool. Good.
So here's a few Fletchers, and this is just to remind you how funny he is.
Aw.
See, he does things like that. here's line number one.
Go after him, kid. Go after him.
See, simple enough, simple enough. Here's another one.
Get up, you son of a bitch, because Mickey loves you.
Wow.
That was pretty good. And then,
that was amazing.
This one.
Time to put some hustle behind this muscle.
That should be like a self-improvement poster thing. Right. It's pretty good. Here's another one.
The most amazing tale ever.
And then... He's a little sleepy.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh,
this movie, for being a pile of crap, according to you, Scott Johnson, provided some amazing Scott Fletcher.
I agree. Yeah, he did great. He always delivers, even when the source material is utter and complete poop. So there you go, everybody. That's your film sack for the week. If you would like to check us out next week, you can, because we'll be watching the film Prophecy 2. I've not seen Prophecy 1 or anything after that. This is the first time I've seen a Prophecy movie. But it will be nice to get our Christopher Walken on. We haven't had him since he was a secondary player in that Bruce Willis movie. What was that called?
Last Man Standing.
Last Man...
Slurp My Butt.
Something like that.
Last Man Slurping My Butt.
So, is out. Last Man Slurping My Butt is out. All right. Yes, Prophecy 2 next week. And I'm looking forward to that because, you know, new stuff. I always like something we haven't seen. I guess Rocky V I hadn't seen, but...
Well, I'd seen it.
I don't know. Well, yeah.
But you know what? We got to play it out.
Have any of us seen Prophecy 2 up till now? Is this new for everybody?
Oh, brand new for
me. It's brand new for me. In fact, I'm thinking about watching Prophecy 1 first, just because I have no idea what we're getting into.
So there's some setup?
Yeah. I wonder how much of that story we may have missed out on, but we'll find out next week on Prophecy 2. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, visit us on the web. Filmsack.com is the website. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com, and we are all over Twitter @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that as well. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
What else could I violate you like? I'm going to violate you like a...
I'm going to violate you like a stand-up KitchenAid mixer.
Violate you like a hurricane.
What in the world?
I don't know.
What? I was thinking you were going to say, I'm going to violate you like a pillow tag. I'm going to rip off the pillow.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.